Hold someone's hand beside you and say, Our Father, we receive the knowledge that is found in your Son, Jesus. In this service, we are established by grace. Our hearts don't shift. We do not listen to any other information but the truth that is found in your Son. We behold Him as He sees us in Him. He is glorified and we are edified. Amen. Glory to God. Mark 16, we want to look at the short exhortational teaching, when you believe. Hallelujah. When you believe. A believer, as we are, we're going to see that shortly what it means, must never be short of expectation. As a believer, you mustn't be short of expectation. Because you are a believer. And it's not like a title. You know, it's a title. You know, today we say, Chief. And the guy is a chief of his bedroom. You know, the boss. You know, things like that. But the believer must know who he is. In Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized, not two events, he that believes, which is baptized. Not that he that believes when you drip his head into water. No, he that believes and he's baptized. Believing is the baptism. Every time you read words in the Bible like that, and then you find, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs, it is said, these signs shall follow those that are baptized. So those that believe. In other words, the one who believes is the one that is baptized. Just like in John 3, verse 3 says, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And verse 5 says, except a man, he is born of the water and the spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom. And then you wonder, is he talking about two things? But by the time you go further, in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So the emphasis is spirit. Then verse 7, marvel not that I say that you must be born again. Then verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listed. You hear the sound thereof. You can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going to. So it's everyone that is born of the spirit. So it retains born of the spirit. So born of water is explained by born of the spirit. Same way, when he that believes and he's baptized. Okay? Baptism there refers to identification, because when you get to the epistles, you discover the word baptism was used for our faith. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Ephesians 4, 4 and 5. Then you also have Galatians 3, 27. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ are put on Christ. You also have 1 Corinthians 12, 13. It says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. So baptism is used for identification or being immersed into. So the moment a man believes, is immersed into Christ. Say, I have been immersed into Christ. So you believe the gospel and then you are called a believer. We'll look at that in a moment. And I said this in the first service, I've said it many times, that when you hear the gospel for the first time, it's for salvation. When you have believed the gospel, when you hear it again, it's for identification. The moment you are hearing the gospel and it's sounding again for salvation, you have been listening to wrong things. Every time you hear the gospel again, you know, when someone hears the gospel that Christ died for our sins, wow, he wants to believe that, so he is saved. But when you hear that again, it is for identification, which leads to spiritual growth. At that point, you now say, when he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he was raised, I was raised. That's what you see when you have believed. All right? Is that clear? Is that clear? So in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says to his disciples again, he says, all authority is given to me in heaven and in the earth. Then he says, go ye therefore, teaching all nations. The word to teach there in verse 19 means to make men students. It's the word matheteo, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. It's like enlisting in a school. Enlistment in a school. Because the faith is meant to disciple you. Where you are taught, let me say this, you are taught how to think. You are taught how to speak. I remember talking to a Jewish rabbi who just got saved. And he said, the term disciple is so strong that is what people will call today a zombie. You are taught to speak. You are taught how to think. In other words, the gospel is meant to shape our thinking. Not to add to our thinking. Not to be one of the things that we think about. So he says, to make disciples, which is the word Matthew 2:0. You'll see it in Matthew 13:52, Matthew 27:57, and more precisely, Acts 14:21. I'd like to open to that one. Acts 14:21, where he says that when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many. So after they had preached the gospel, many were saved, they now taught them. They make them students. The church ought to be where you are made a student. Don't say, well, I like our church. We all just discuss. We discuss how we feel about Jesus. That's not yet a church. That is a town's meeting. A club. He said, you teach them. You make them students. So, in other words, he gives, as it were, a responsibility to his disciples, which involves a process. A process. A process where men are taught. Their brother said, there's a Calvinist, he is. And he said, while the preacher can never determine the number of people that come into the assembly, you can't determine that people are going to come in, and they're going to come in every time. He said, but God gives you the responsibility to determine what they hear. They must not determine what you preach. You must determine what they hear. That's why I said, go into all the world and make them students. You teach them the gospel. And so he says, again, if you check the other things he told them in Luke 24:47, he says, repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And one of the things about discipleship is that discipleship is a process where you learn identification. You don't know who you are because you are intelligent. You don't know who you are because you have read a lot of books that have told you a lot of things about yourself, about your mannerisms. You know who you are because you have learned the gospel. The gospel has a way it defines you. The gospel has a way he talks about you. The gospel has a way he speaks of you. And that must be what you're learning. For example, if you find yourself saying things about yourself outside the gospel, is because you have not been listening to the gospel. You have not been listening to the gospel. Hallelujah. If you find yourself thinking things about yourself that is contrary to the gospel, it's because you have not been studying the gospel. Because when you study the gospel, there are information that you will listen to. People say about you, and you hear about yourself. Sometimes you come to your thoughts about yourself and say, no, that's not me. That's not me. Hallelujah. That's not me. The information you will receive in your mind. Sometimes it's difficult for the human mind to comprehend how God thinks about you. And some guys can't fathom it. By the time you read the Old Testament and New Testament, and you read how David, I mean, if you read the New Covenant about David or Abraham, you read about Solomon, and you read about Samson, you read about all those folks, then you come to the Old Testament, you say, which David is this one? Right? No, which David is this one? Imagine Paul's content in Acts 13. He said, David served God in his generation. That's all he said. Peter said, David being a prophet. Jesus said, David in the spirit. Why are you all ignoring reality? What's wrong with these guys? What's it about them that they are not facing? You have to balance the story. What about other things about David? The gospel doesn't have that identification. The gospel sees David differently. Differently. It's not the fault of the gospel. It's the gospel. You know, just the same way there are ways you see someone and others have another opinion about the person. You say, well, this is how I see him. This is what I know about him. And so the gospel is God's identification of you. And so Jesus, for example, will turn to his disciples. Some of them were, you know, some of the guys that you cannot put on your team. And then he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's serious. Remember one time we were studying this scripture some years back, in the 90s, and I said, for Jesus to say, I am the vine, you are the branches. That is the height of identification. That means we are seen together. It's funny that some folks have they've removed what he was saying and created a new doctrine from there. Said, Jesus is divine. Are you a branch? Are you, you wonder, which verse are you reading from? Are you a branch? For you to be a branch, you have to abide. Are you abiding? He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And my Father is the husbandman. In other words, the branch and the vine, they are together. The only person who walks is the husbandman. The Father is walking in us. Hallelujah. The only person who walks. Where he said, there is another branch which does not abide in the vine. He says that one is cast into the fire because it has not believed. Not that the branch was now removed. By who? By the husband man. Who planted it? You get it. Some guys don't get it. He said, I am the... He says those things absolutely. I'm a branch in the vine. E.W. Kenyon says it like this. He said, the glory of the vine is in the branches. Hallelujah. That is, you get the fruit on the branch. So, the fruit of the branch is a fruit of the vine. Is Jesus bearing fruit in us, not we bearing fruit for him? Identification. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was teaching this yesterday to a particular church. It was a broadcast, live broadcast. And I said to them, I said, when I got saved a couple of days ago, and the things I was striving for, when I read the book by Kenneth Hagin and John Osteen, John precisely, and Kenneth Hagin, and then E.W. Kenyon, the interesting part was, it was the same scriptures that was reading thirsting for God, thirsting for righteousness, that they explained to me. Religion can be so crazy. You the same scriptures, it's not another one. I saw those same verses. Those were the same verses. And they showed me, you have eternal life. You have. A man said this yesterday. He said, the most popular verse in Christian churches is John 3:16. If all of us can just agree on John 3:16, we'll be one denomination. All of us. That when a man believes in him, he will not perish. That's it. And he has eternal life. If we all agree on that verse, we can all gather in National Stadium and there'll be no problem. But you will quote that verse. Remember somebody was sharing this with me, UI back then, when I went to be some of my friends. He said, yes, there. God sent us. He said, but the Bible says that this is the condemnation of the world. that light came into the world. But men love darkness rather than light. Why not read that place? Those are those who have not believed. I have believed. Yes. After you have believed, what if you start loving that? Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone. You know, just leave me alone. He wanted to go for that darkness part. I have eternal life. So the believer hears the gospel and then he receives the truth about identification. He is the vine. You are the branches. When we believe the gospel, we're called born again. Born again. I'm born again. Hallelujah. In my confusion back then, I said, everybody can be born again. But are you born of water and the Spirit? I said, because when you are born again, you see. But when you are born of water, that you enter. All of us can be born again. But are we all born of the water and the Spirit? And so, by the time you say that, everybody is now waiting to be born of the water and the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm born of God. John 3:3 says you are born again. And that's the word genao anothen. It means you are born outside this realm of life. You were generated by God. John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. The word there is technon. It means someone's seed who came from another. You see, those are things you call yourself often. Look at the song we sang today. Don't just sing it again. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Then when you get outside there, you know I'm a depressed person. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. See, how do you see yourself? You say, I'm choleric. No. That's not in your DNA. You must see, these are not titles. They are realities. They are realities. Say, they are my realities. Say, the gospel reveals my realities. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The word there is the word kainos. This is a new species. Years ago, people will read, when I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah. When I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah. When I remember, I remember, I remember, I remember. They will now bring a scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become. When I remember his promises, I shall hallelujah. When I remember, I remember. He starts to go, when I remember his promises, I shall. And the congregation is so large, everybody is singing rubbish. In 1998, I went for a conference of a large denomination in this country. It's not RCCGO, but very large. Orthodox Church, actually. What we call Orthodox Church. And I asked them, if I had to ask my friend, did you hear what they are saying? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is Christ, all things, they said, all things shall pass away. All things shall become new. I said, emoji, are you hearing what they are saying? Say, shall. And their Bible says, have. I said, religion is a bastard. You will just be seeing, shall. Where there is have. 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 Religion is what makes a man. Now, I'm saying wrong, false religion now. A man says, he sees 1 Corinthians 12. He sees verse 10. He sees tongues, division of tongues. He sees prophecy. He sees verse 11, no? All things work at the one and self, so divide to everyone, serve as you will. He reads verse 4. They are divided of gifts by the same Spirit. He reads verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man's prophet without. Then he just gets to 31. Do all speak with tongues. Then he stays there. You say, come to verse chapter 14. No, no, no. Explain this first. You say, chapter 14 says, I would that you all speak with tongues. Say, no. I know that is there. What about this one? You say, no. You say, Paul says, when you come together, all of you have done is, I saw it, but what about this one? You know, you are hooked. Who reads anything like that? You see a whole book, your textbook, maybe your physics textbook. Then you see one line. In a 300 page book, they stop there. Yes? Oh, yes? We need to pray for you. Because why would you read like that? I told someone who said, do all speak with tongues? I said, it's a question. Should we answer it? He said, no. He didn't say, all don't speak with tongues. He said, do all. Is it not a question? Let's answer it. I would that you all speak with tongues. That has answered it. Don't do any exigencies, though. You are wasting your time. Just say, it's a question. This is the answer. Hallelujah. You get the point. You just fixated. But the Bible says you have eternal life. Yes, I know. It's there. What about Hebrews 6? Hebrews 6. You said, what about Hebrews 7:25? Hebrews said, I saw it. What about Hebrews 6? Hallelujah. There are some people, don't argue. Just start praying. No, I'm not joking. Pray the Pauline prayers. Pray the Peter's prayer. Pray the John 17 prayer too. I thought you got that. I'm a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children. Hallelujah. We are going to go up and take the country to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Though the giants may be on our way to India, God will surely give us victory, victory. Move on to the righteous side. Move on to the righteous side. Move on to... This was a song I sang in one retreat in 1997. They didn't invite me again. I said, is there an unrighteous side of God? See, there's a righteous side. We are not moving to God. We are of God. Think like that. Think like that. So why do you use songs a lot? Because people remember songs than sermons. It's not, when you hit songs, then they pay attention. What is he saying? Jerry Samuel told a story in his teaching, Elijah's of God. He said the first time he heard Kenneth Copeland, that when Kenneth Copeland was teaching, he felt, what's this man saying? Then he slept off. He wasn't even a Christian. He just slept off and felt. Then he woke up when Kenneth Copeland began to criticize many hymnals. He didn't have an hymnal, didn't have a hymn book, he didn't even bring a Bible. When he had that, you know Kenneth Copeland, when he was younger, he's now different now. He would say, that book is full of rubbish, full of unbelief. I mustn't have you. He said, he's an invited minister. He said, I mustn't have you sing that song anymore when I come here. In invited minister. So just woke up and said, what does he mean? What does he mean? Who is he? He's not a Christian though. Said, God wrote two books, the Bible and the baptism now. He can't criticize this. People have that thing about songs. Dagede is coming. Dagede is coming. All men shall stand before the throne of God and give account of themselves. I will stand. You will stand. I like the part. My father will stand. When we were persecuted, I said, my father, I will sing it loud. My father will stand. My father will stand. I didn't even say my mother will stand. I said, my father will stand. My father will stand. My father shall stand. My father will stand. He was the only one that had that song. Vindictive song. All men shall stand before the throne of God and give account of themselves. Oh, my darling Jesus. You're not using toasting. Oh, my darling Jesus, for your word is set on fire. You will be my comforter. You will be my pleader. Guide me, oh Lord. Rock on me. Rock on, rock on, rock on me, Jesus. That song is full of identity crisis. The Bible says you have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. He that believes in me shall not come to condemnation, but have eternal life. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? Those are facts about you. Taught a sermon some 9 years ago, I think. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Why did I teach that sermon? It reminded me of a sermon I taught earlier. The things that are wrong with you. I was the one that taught it. I went to the book of Leviticus, how the priests were picked. You want to hear about the sermon? Where they talked about height, the shape of your head, and stuff like that. I said, the height refers to your realm in the spirit. You want to hear the exegesis? If you have skin issues, I said, because skin refers to the flesh, that means you are walking in the flesh. Should I continue? That's what people call salmon today. Salmon or lemon. Just talking. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with you. You are his purchased possession. The Bible says you are a holy nation. A royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, which before now were not a people, but are now the people of God, which didn't have mercy. Now you have the mercy of God. Hallelujah. So those are not words you just hear. They are words you say often and often and often and often. A believer does not need to be psyched. He does not need a motivational speaker at all. For what? There is enough information in God's word for you not to feel bad. So, you know that. You are a believer. 1 John 3:1. Why do you think they wrote those things? Behold what manner of love. Behold is an instruction. It means to see. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God, the technon of God. Verse 2. Beloved! Now are we the sons of God. How would you read that? How would you read that and not know who you are? Now are we the sons of God. The reason why many don't is because after hearing such truth, they mix it up with balances. When you have read that one, you now go to the Old Testament. Apple of his eye. You now go to the Old Testament. Joy of many generations. Excellency. All those Israel terminologies. You are his son. Say that often. Admit that often. Praise the Lord. Galatians 4, 6 and 7 says you are no more servants but sons. No more servants but sons. That is who you are. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we should be made the righteousness. We have become the righteousness of God in him. This morning we taught a teaching on the new song. I believe it will be out tomorrow. You need to listen to it. Our new song. And I said in the morning, all believers must have the same kind of lyrics in spite of our experiences. Because our lyric is Christ in our songs. We must sing that way together. Praise the Lord. Go back to Mark 16. Remember, when you hear the gospel, you see yourself. It's an identification message after you have believed it. In Mark 16, which is our focus, it says, he that believes, and is baptized shall be saved. Notice the next thing he says, and these signs, after he says, he that believes not shall be damned. Then he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. I remember it was E.W. Kenyon that first of all let me see the meaning of that word. Them that believe. That the them that believe is actually a noun. When you put it together, it's the believing ones. Because it starts with what you can call an article. The believing ones. This sign shall follow the believing ones. So the moment that you believe the gospel, which is done once, You are called the believing one. Hallelujah. Say, I am the believing one. You are called the believing one. In John's Gospel 14, earlier, pay attention here. John wrote what Jesus said. I said, he that believes in me, on me, he that believes, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than this, because I go to my Father. Say, that is me. Say, that's me. So you are the he that believes. It's not he that keeps believing. He that keeps believing. No. When you believe the gospel, it says the works I do, you will do also. So when we are called believers, we are called believers not because of a future action, but a past action. What we have believed. We are called believers because of a past action. Just like Abraham was so called because of his believing. Later on, Abraham doubted. He walked in doubt and fear and anxiety. But that did not change the fact that he had believed. And he was already called righteous. So we are called the believers. Say, I am a believer. So when you read the book of Acts, you will notice that term was used for us. In other words, we have an atmosphere of faith in our heart. We have an atmosphere of faith. Pastor Christopher Akilome will say, the atmosphere of miracles is the atmosphere of faith. We have an atmosphere of faith in our hearts. An atmosphere of faith. Look at Acts 2:42. He says, and they continue steadfastly, watch this, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Before then, he mentioned how they received the word. Now look at verse 44. Let's say 44 together. And all that believed were together and had all things. Are you there? All that believed. Or the believers. Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. So he calls those who heard the word all that believe. Or you call them believers. In Acts 5:14. And the believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitude both of men and women. So those who are discipled by the gospel are called believers. I am a believer. I am a believer. I am a believer. Acts 11:24. This is Paul. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. That's Barnabas, sorry. And much people, he says, was added to the church, unto the Lord. Much people. Then he says in verse 26. And when he found him, that's Saul now, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass a whole year, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That is, they were called like Christ, or of Christ. So they were called disciples, they were called Christians, and they were also called believers. The same people. Believers because of a past action. Disciples because they were being taught. Believers because of a past action. Look at Acts 4. I think I skipped that. And verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Many believed. So the believing was not a continual thing. The believing was once. Once. Acts 15:14. So they are called believers. They are called disciples because they are taught. Acts 15:14. Before that, Acts 9:32. Sorry. Acts 9:32.
What else were they called in the book of Acts? As they were being taught. Acts 9:32, it says, it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, and came down also to the saints which dwell in Lydia. They are called saints. Saints. That means they are called a holy people. Acts 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and number of disciples, watch this, multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So we are also called obedient. Say, we are obedient. Say, we are obedient. So you are also called obedient. In fact, 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children. So we are called obedient. In fact, believing the gospel was called a form of obedience. Romans 6 verse 18. Romans 6:17. That form of doctrine that we have obeyed. Romans 1:5. Obedience to the faith. So you are obedient. The people who have not believed the gospel are called children of disobedience. Say, I'm obedient. Say, I'm obedient. So we are obedient people. It's not a title. It's not something we are saying to excite ourselves. That is who we are. We are obedient. We are believers. We are disciples because we are taught. We are saints of God. All because we have believed the gospel of Christ. See, I am obedient. Now, so if I am called a saint, that means I don't have a problem with holy living. Because I'm a holy person. If I'm called obedient, I don't have a problem to obey. Because I am obedient. Say, I am obedient. Say, I am a son of obedience. So you don't have a problem with obeying. Because you are obedient. You are a disciple. You can be taught. Say, I can be taught. I can learn. Praise the Lord. I'm obedient. I'm a saint. I'm a believer. I'm a disciple. Praise God. That's who you are. That's who you are. We all bred there. We need to pray for grace to obey. That's not a Christian's prayer. We are obedient children. I'm an obedient person. Peter says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves after the loss of your former conversation. You are an obedient child. That's who you are. Say, I'm obedient. I respond to God's word naturally. I respond to the leading of the Spirit of God naturally. Because I'm an obedient child. Say, I'm obedient. Say again, I'm obedient. Let that come straight to your heart. That you are obedient. Remember what Ezekiel said. He said, I'll put in them my spirit, and I'll cause them to walk in my statutes and my judgment. They shall do them. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27. I will cause them. I will make them capable. Hallelujah. Say, I'm obedient. Many believers are being taught, may God make you obedient. No, God has made you obedient. And that obedience is that obedience of the faith. When you believe it. That's why Hebrews 5 and 9 says he gives eternal salvation to them that obey him. Who give heed to him. So we start from who we are to what we can do. We are called believers. See, I am a believer. That's why you are never told in the epistles to believe. You are told that you have believed. You are called believers. Galatians 6 and 10 calls the church the household of faith. That means everybody in this household is a believer. What then happens to us? E.W. Kenyon will say, we have some unbelieving believers. They have believed the gospel, but they don't know what they have believed. They have believed the gospel, and the very thing they believe, they don't agree with it. That might be true. 1 John 5. 13. 1 John 5:13. What's this? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Watch this now. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's quite contradictory. And I showed you that the original here is that, and that believing on the name of the Son of God. So, the second believing is to emphasize that you have believed. Having believed on the name of the Son of God, this is the confidence that we have in Him. That because we have believed on the name of the Son of God, this is that confidence. So that means faith in Christ produces confidence. The word confidence here means to speak freely. Paresia. To talk without inhibition. Now that doesn't mean to say anything. Because what he says next is, if we ask anything. That is, he's talking about prayer. Confidence in prayer. Why am I confident to pray? Because I am a believer. I am a believer. I have believed. And I walk in the realm of faith. There's no fear here. I got confidence. Next week I'll be teaching on boldness. I've got confidence. I've got confidence. Praise the Lord. I've got confidence. Praise the Lord. See, this is the confidence that we have. And so, I've read this. Look at Galatians 3. Paul now gives a warning to the church in Galatia. And if you read that book well, from chapter 1, obviously, they have been listening to other things. You know, human beings like to explore. Sometimes, when you keep hearing the same thing every time, you think you need to hear something else. And then, they began to hear other people. And Paul says, why are you so soon removed from he that called you to the grace of Christ to another gospel? So soon. It's argued by many theologians, and I don't have reason to doubt them, that that was Paul's first letter. So there's no time too early to warn believers. So soon, removed from he that called you to the grace of Christ to another gospel. Heteros, he calls it. A different kind. So, but there are some who trouble you. The word there is tarazo. T-A-R-A-S-S-O, I believe. T-A-R-A-S-S-O. It means to shift you from where you are. Who pervert the gospel of Christ. They shift you. All of a sudden, you lose the confidence that you have. All of a sudden, I tell people, look at the fruit of the message. What does it make you do? If you hear a teaching and the next thing you go outside, you are looking at who is shaking your hand. Bless you. What did you listen to? Or you hear something and then all of a sudden you don't have self-worth. I mean self-worth in Christ, I mean. You just feel like, then who am I? Or you hear a teaching and you start to doubt God's power. That can't be the gospel. It's not consistent. It's not consistent. Because you will know. I tell people, there's a way I measure doctrines. And I measure it. You don't have to. I said, number one, I ask myself, does this message inspire the love of God for other people? If it does not, then I begin to suspect it. Number two, I say, does this message inspire evangelism? That I just want to tell people about Jesus for them to be saved. Then finally, does this message acknowledge the miraculous? The power of God
in human situations. If it doesn't, I start to look at it from afar. And I'm an observer. You look at it. What does it produce in you? You hear a teaching, and the next thing that does it to you, you are rude to people. There's something wrong in that. The next thing it does, you're just mannerless. Sometimes some people hear the wrong things, no doubt. Or you hear something, the next thing you are rude to your pastors. I tell you, your pastor is human. Everybody knows your pastor is human. God knows, you know, he knows. But let him be the one to be saying it. You don't say it with him. The more you say it, the more you are cut from his ministry. Because his ministry to you is not humanity. So give yourself sense. Give yourself sense. So when you hear things like that, and then you begin to disregard spiritual authority, this is not the gospel. Or you hear things that can't make you receive healing. They are explaining away why you are sick. And you see, it can be like this. You know, sometimes God can. You are hearing the wrong thing. It's not consistent with the word. It's not consistent with the life of Christ. It's not consistent with the four gospels. It's not. It's not consistent. Also, I remember I had to share this in a minister's conference. A preaching of the gospel that does not warn the unsaved of the consequences of unbelief is not the gospel. Law. Jesus warns about the consequences of not believing. And the apostles wrote it all through their letters. So you have to see things that are consistent. Consistent. Consistent with the gospel. So, in Galatians 3, Paul found out that the church in Galatia had moved. Then he says, "All foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the work of the Lord, by the hand of faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" There are many people that start like that with the word of God, revelation knowledge. They are hearing other things. You must grow in the same truth. Same truth. In 1 Corinthians 15. Are you in church? Come on, guys. Are you in church? 1 Corinthians 15:1. Watch this. Paul says in verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you which also you have received and wherein you stand." I've told you how to interpret this. Remove the verses to make sense. "By which also you are saved." Full stop. "Wherein you stand, by which you are saved." Then he says, "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now the word "keep in memory" there is the word katecho. K-A-T-C-H-O. It implies to possess something. Or to take a hold of something. That means when you are taught the gospel, you have to hold on to the facts. Why did he say that? Because other people in verse 12 were now preaching that there's nothing called the resurrection from the dead. And they were in the church. So he said, you have to keep in memory the things I taught you. Lest you have believed in vain. That is, if you have not kept that in memory, and you are paying attention to these ones, that means your faith is in vain. Because what I taught you was that Christ rose from the dead for your sins. That's why he says in 14, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then is our preaching vain, your faith is vain. In 17, says that means you are yet in your sins. So we have a responsibility to keep and hold on to the gospel in our hearts, in our words. That word katecho you see used by Paul in the same letter, 1 Corinthians 7:30, for possessing. 1 Corinthians 11:2, what you keep. 2 Corinthians 6:10, what you possess. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. I'll take it again. 1 Corinthians 7:30, 1 Corinthians 11:2, 2 Corinthians 6:10, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Facts that you must hold on to and stay with. So when you have heard that you are a believer, that means
you believe. Say, I'm a believer in the word. I'm a believer in the word. Hallelujah. I am a believer. I am who God says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. But your believers can slip from faith to unbelief. I told you earlier, as a believer, you must not but have expectations. You must have expectations. Expectations for the power of God. You must have expectations. And you can because you are a believer. You are a believer. You are already a believer. You don't become a believer because you believe the word of God. You became a believer the day you got saved. Say, I am a believer. So I don't have a faith problem. Say, I don't have a faith problem. You don't have a faith problem. You are a believer. You don't have a power problem. Because the power of God is at work in you. You don't have a love problem. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You don't have a spirit problem. He has given you the earnest of the spirit in your heart. Is there any problem? It's a knowledge problem. And let me tell you this. Men can be so knowledgeable, and when they are no longer in fellowship with the word, that is, they no longer communicate with the word, they will become worse than an ignorant person. Let me repeat myself. You can find somebody so knowledgeable, and he has preached the word, he has taught the word, but the moment you stop to read it, meditate upon it and act on it, you can find yourself in shoes you never imagined. That's why Paul will say to Timothy, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly unto them. That your poverty may appear unto all. So as a believer, you have to understand that you have a life of faith. Say, I have a life of faith. I am a believer. Praise the Lord. I want to look at someone quickly, you know, where at? This is really a sermon for today. Romans chapter 4. Abraham. Why did Paul put that story in there? Paul had already spoken about Abraham, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. He mentioned that Abraham had found this blessedness. Romans 4, 1. What then say that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to flesh, has found? Verse 2. If Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. Then he says, Abraham believed the Lord. Believed in the Lord or believed God. It was counted to him, Romans 4, 3, for righteousness. So they believed in the Lord. It was counted to him for righteousness. You see that in Genesis 15, verse 6. He believed. And the writer here, Paul, now says, David calls this blessedness in verse 6, that God does not impute righteousness with works, that he imputes righteousness without works. Then he says in verse 7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. So he goes on and on. Pay attention here. He mentions in verse 9 to 11, you read that later, and he mentions how Abraham was justified. He was blessed. Then he gets to verse 17. He's talking to believers. Because in Romans 1, verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to everyone who believes. So he had called us believers. But look at this in Romans 4, 17. What did Abraham do here that Paul wants us to pay attention to? He says in Romans 4, 17, as is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. Now, this verse is Genesis 17, verse 5. I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, Abraham had believed. He was called righteous in chapter 15. Now he says, I have made you a father of many nations. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. And when Abraham heard this, he didn't have a child. And God said, I have made you
That's interesting. God says what he couldn't see. God said what he couldn't feel. God said he had done something and Abraham didn't see it. I don't know if I've had that kind of experience. You should. God says, I've done it, but Abraham couldn't see it. And you know, at that time, when you go and check some blogs, when God says no. Some guys are majoring on things like that. Areas they cannot explain, they call it the will of God. When you can't explain something, then you say, well, God knows the best. Somebody dies. They will say, well, God, we love you, but God loves you more. So who did God give him to? When God loved the world, he gave his son. So God now loved this one, he took him. Because you can't explain it. And usually, I don't talk my ignorance. It's stupid. I talk my knowledge. I talk my faith. In spite of what may look contrary, I'll say, well, God didn't take him. And God didn't want him to die. How do you know? Well, that's what I know in the world. Don't say that, though. That fellow was serving the Lord. He was very prayerful. He was this one. He was that. He was a pastor in six nations. Thank you for saying that. But I know what God did not say. Hallelujah. Are you still there? God said it. Abraham did not see it. God said it. And Abraham couldn't find it. He had no reason to even accept it. Because we're going to read the facts of that in a moment. Look at his condition here. In verse 19, he says, his body was now dead. We'll see the meaning of the word. So God says, I have made you a father of many nations. But then you look at your body and it's dead. And you say, God, I know that you are spiritual. He said, well, what God said to him was a spiritual reality. You know, you start to look for excuses. You know, it's a spiritual reality. You know, the made you there in the Greek is a spiritual word that is called madoski. It means what I have done, you cannot see it. Keep quiet. He said, a father of many nations have I made you. Then the Bible says, as God said that, before whom he believed. Before whom he believed. That word before whom is the word katenanti in the Greek. K-A-T-E-N-A-N-T-I. It means in his sight. Before whom he believed. That means in the sight of God, he had made him a father of many nations. That means God saw in Abraham a father of many nations. That's what he said. Before whom he believed. That means in the sight of God. That's what he saw. God's word doesn't change because your experience has not measured up. So in the sight of God, who was Abraham? A father of many nations. It took him a while. Abraham was called assumed father, Abram. A-B-R-A-M. Assumed father. And the moment, we're going to see in a moment, the moment he got a hold of this, this took a while. The moment he got a hold of this, the Bible records that he changed his name. When he changed his name, in other words, God called him a father of many nations. He called himself an assumed father. So what he was saying and what God said were not the same. The moment he changed what he said and changed what Sarah was saying, within 1 year, Isaac came. Within a year. Now, there was Ishmael in the middle. I'll explain that later. But within 1 year, Isaac came. 1 year. Just by... So it wasn't like a change of name just to have a new name on your call card. No. His change of name was a change in his confession. Your words must agree with what God said. Say, I'm a believer. Or say, I'm a believer. So what did Abraham do? Look at the next verse. Within that same verse. Even God. So before God, you are the righteousness of God. In his eyes, glory to God, you are blessed. In his eyes, you are not confused. In his eyes, you can't be seduced. In his eyes, you can't be deceived, praise God. In his eyes, you walk in the light. You are what he says you are. You have what he says you have. You can do what he says you can do. In his sight. In his sight. And look at that. He says, in his sight. He says, for God said. In other words, God's word is God's sight. Whatever he says is what he sees. You can't make God see you as unrighteous. If you can't change his word, you can't change what he sees. Are you still out there? You can't say, look, I know what I'm saying. I'm doing this. That doesn't change what he sees. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Doesn't change it. What God says is what God sees. So his words and his sight are the same. His word and his sight are the same. Now, he says, before whom he believed. Who quickeneth the dead? That's God. Who quickeneth the dead? Look at that. The word quickeneth the dead is used strictly for raising the dead. Zoopoio in the Greek. Zoopoio. I'll give you the text where you find this. John 5:21. Two times. John 5:21. Romans 8:11. The spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwelleth in you. Quickeneth the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:22. In Christ all shall be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. 1 Corinthians 15:36. Talking about the seed. 2 Corinthians 3:6. The spirit gives life. Or, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, and the spirit gives life. The new birth. Galatians 3:21. If the law could have given life. 1 Peter 3:18. The resurrection of Jesus. So he says, God who quickeneth the dead. He had believed in the resurrection of Jesus by the gospel. When he believed that, he was declared righteous. So if God now says, a father of many nations have I made you. And you look at your physical body. And you have already believed that he raised Jesus from the dead. And you are called righteous. Are you still following this at all? He had believed that. Before whom he had believed. He had already believed. That God will raise Christ from the dead. For our transgressions. For our justification. So when he hears. A father of many nations. Have I made you? And the doctor says. It's not possible. He says, well. God will raise Jesus from the dead. I believe that. I can believe for this then. Praise God. So, it took him a while. It was a journey of faith. Took him a while. Took him a while. Sometimes we can get it right in other things. You know, some of us are assuming that we're growing spiritually. We're doing a lot of ministry. We're raising the dead. We're ministering to people. We're preaching the gospel. But sometimes, you might not be growing spiritually in the way you speak. You might know how to preach, but not how to talk. You can preach well. And we say, glory, glory, glory. But then you act on the word. It's not the preacher of the word that is blessed. It's the doer. And you know how to preach well. You can rightly divide and subtract and multiply the word. But, hey. Is the word on your lips? You are preaching the word. Remember? Abraham had done other things here. He had given to Melchizedek. He had acknowledged the blessing of God. Righteousness. Yet, he was still saying, I am an assumed father. An area of his life, his words were not in agreement with God's word. You following this? Are you following this? So you can help that part that you just... you know, sometimes you can get so knowledgeable in the word of God. Let me use that word for head knowledge. And yet, your words are no longer full of the word. Hallelujah. Someone heard a teaching on divine healing, how Isaiah 53 is not divine healing. It's restoration to the fellowship with the Father. It's reconciliation, forgiveness of sins. Then in his mind, he started thinking, well, maybe I don't really need divine healing. I just go for doctors. He is sleeping in unbelief. Sliding in there. Didn't you read the four Gospels? Didn't you read the four Gospels? Didn't you see that Jesus healed those who were going to kill him? How would you allow your mind to drift away from the world? Hallelujah. See, I'm just saying the facts. Well, I'm saying the facts. Just saying the facts. Yeah, you're saying the facts. But I'm not saying the word. And then he says, who quickeneth the dead? I don't know about you. I believe all things are possible with the power of God. What about you? I do believe that. I believe all things. That's why as a personal motto in life, I never give up, I never quit. I usually don't... like staying around people that discuss problems. Those who work with me in business know this. We have a business meeting and we're talking. They say, sir, I said, yes, then after that, can I hear a solution? Yeah, we have not thought about it. I said, then don't let's have this meeting again. You go back. You go back and tell me the possibilities. You go back. Because I have lived a life of miracles. I have. My God, I have faced doctors reporting about a die and I live. I have lived a life of miracles. You can't tell me it's not possible. I can't take it from you. Praise the Lord. I can't. And sometimes many of us need to watch our words. Years ago, you know, I'd never in my life had a skin infection. Through the boarding house, I used my words right. I never had one. Never had Apollo, whether it's verse 1 or verse 2. Never had. Never did. Not in my life. And one time, I caught it in 2013. I said, how did this happen? Now, I wasn't trying to say, God, what are you saying? No, that's stupid. It's not God. God's word is clear. I said, there must be something wrong somewhere, maybe in my mind. I subtly accepted something unconsciously. And I was saying it. You always know what you believe under pressure. When you're under pressure, watch what you say. It looks like it's realistic, But you are actually being carried away by worry, doubt, and anxiety. Hear this well. Any decision you take in doubt, fear, and anxiety can never be right. Can never be right. You're a person of faith. Do you know, to believe God, so to obey God, even in ministry, is by faith. To obey God is by faith. To do what God says to do is by faith. You step out in faith. We tell our pastors, well, we pray, God leading us to do this, well, we'll just do it. And we trust Him. We trust Him. He's led us to do this. We're going to do this. We're just going to do this. As He has led us. So you can't abandon the life of faith. You need to check it. And say, where am I getting this wrong? It's not, what does God mean? No. God has said, praise God. God has said, praise God. Abraham had to change his confession. Sometimes some of us have the wrong theology. Say, well, this is God's will. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. If He does not deliver us, who taught you that? Someone said, there are translations that say, you are joking. Do you know how many translations I would have been part of today? There are translations. I told you, verses themselves are interpretations. In grammar, when you say, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us and He will deliver us, that is emphasis. If not, it's not that He won't deliver us. No, if you will not cast us into the fire, we will not bow to you, O King. How can He say, if not, if He doesn't deliver us, we will not bow to you? If He doesn't deliver us, that means He has cast you into the fire. What are you bowing for? That doesn't make any kind of sense. If you don't cast us into the fire, we will still not bow to you. They had absolute confidence in the power of God. Absolute confidence. It's either the word or the world. Did you hear that? It's either the word or the world. I don't lack ideas. I don't lack direction. I don't lack confidence. Hallelujah. My help is in the Lord. 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 Glory to His name. So God said, a part of many nations have I made you. And the Bible says, who quickeneth the dead. And so now He says, who calleth the things, and calleth the things which be not as though they were. Many have argued who that was. It says, who is this, who is that calling? Is it God or Abraham? Watch. Who calleth the things that be not as though they were. Look at the next verse. Who against hope? Is that God? Hallelujah. The one who calls the things, He's the one who has believed. He says, God has said. So the one that will keep saying is you. Who calleth the things that be not? So when God says it, doesn't mean that you're going to see it immediately. Praise God. Who calleth the things that be not as though they were? What did Abraham do? That's what we're learning this afternoon. What did Abraham do? The first thing he did was that he called the things that be not as though they were. He said what was not existing as though it existed. Hallelujah. Is that not wrong? Well, it's not wrong. Praise God. John said, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Then he says, if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, not only us, but the world. Then in verse 12, he says, your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. In other words, you put what God has said on your mouth. You just committed a sin, which is wrong. And you say, sin has no dominion over me. How about that? But you just sing. Well, everything about the believers right in Christ is calling the things that be not as though they were. You call the things that be not. You have, your mind is going crazy. It's going, you say, no, I am in control. My mind is functioning well. I cannot be afraid. I will not fear. I cannot fear. I cannot fear. The things that be not as though they were. As though they were. As though they were. Praise God. As though they were. He called the things. You must call the things. You must call the word. You must call the things that be not as though they were. You have prayed. Now call those things. You have prayed. Now call those things. Praise the Lord. Then he says, who against hope believed in hope. So in other words, in life, there are always two kinds of expectations. Sometimes. You go to the doctor and they tell you, well, doctors are wonderful people. And they say, well, you know, this kind of case and all that. And they write you the report. And that is an expectation. But he says, against hope. Hallelujah. Against an expectation. He believed in another expectation. I expect good things to happen to me. I expect the power of God to walk through for me. Hallelujah. Sometimes things can get from bad to worse. I keep expecting. I keep expecting. I know it will turn better. I know it will work out fine. I know it will. Praise God. I know it will. I know it will. I know it will. All things are possible to him that believes. I believe the power of God is working. I believe the power of God is. And I'm not feeling anything. I picked my phone and called the numbers and they said the same thing. But I believe the power of God is working. I believe the power of God is working. I can be down. I can't go down. I can be down. And I can't go down. I call the things that be not. I tell folks, what purpose will saying it the way it is? What is he going to do? It's already the way it is. You are not a journalist reporting from the scene. The doctor says, hey, this is what we have. We did a scan. We did all that. Don't say, yes! Well, you could say that you're human. Uh-huh. But you know, you can call the things. You call the things. To glory to God. Christ is my healer. Jesus Christ makes me whole. 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 You keep saying that. God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory. By Christ Jesus, I receive miracles. Miracles of help. Of interventions. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what you say. That's what you say. You call the things that be not. You know, that's some of the most difficult things to do. The things that be not. Because to many of us, our experiences are so real to us. They form, if you're not careful, they form your theology and your perception. They are so real. They are so real to you. What you have seen. This, I'm feeling, you know. Hallelujah. But you call the word. Call the things that be not as though they were. And as you're doing that, you are believing against hope. We are believing in hope. See, I have expectation. The second thing he did. He says, and being not weak in faith. Being not weak in faith. He considered not his own body. Now there. This is not about becoming righteous. Because he had already believed. So you can believe for salvation. Then you grow weak in faith in other things. Not being weak in faith. He considered not his own body. The word consider there means to observe. Katanoheo in the Greek. K-A-T-A-N-O-E-O. It means to observe by thinking. It's not just to say, my body is weak, but you are now observing it gradually. You can describe. There was someone like that we want to minister to. This is not to put people down, but just an example. And I just saying this. And he described, he showed us the report. He showed us how they said his heart was located, what was the puncture there. He showed us everything. I spoke the word again. And because he was a preacher, you almost can say nothing. I spoke the word. He said, I understand. So, but if you, that day when I went to UCH, when I said all that, we left to the car. We're going for one retreat then. I said, I don't think I can help this man at all. He has made up his mind what he wants to believe. He has made up his mind. He has made up his mind what he wants to believe. He has just made up his mind. Because what is dominant in your thoughts is what is dominant in your words. And that's exactly what you believe. So he's made up his mind. As we kept talking the word, he said something else. He just went round and round. And this is somebody I know that had healed the sick. I remember one service in 1996, I think, of 95, that this particular person, we had a fellow who had a cancer. I think it was a tumor or so. And then he used the anointing oil in 1995. And he anointed the guy's head with oil. And then he prayed for him. And the guy went off. And came back on Monday with a report that he was healed. And in that service, was an evening, Sunday evening service, we had many people who were healed by him laying hands and anointing them with oil. Because we walked together in ministry. But you know, along the line, sometimes you just... And the thing about ministry is everybody's just celebrating you. But you know that your words are not full of faith. Your sermons are, but your words are not. Your words are not. You get to your home, you speak negative things to your children. You say, oh, you are what the world says you are. See, your children are goats. Because they anoint you. That's really you. That's really you. And you become a signboard. Other people are getting blessed of your ministry, but you are not. I choose not to be a signboard. I walk in the word. So what's the things that you read? Someone sent me one report, one long report. I said, I'm not going to read this. I'm not going to read this. I want to read the word. Give me the word. Hallelujah. Give me the word. Praise God. Give me the word. I want to hear the word. I want to hear the word. What has God said? Not what is God saying. God has said what he will say. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he considered not his body. Now dead. The word there is necro. It means as good as dead. It can't function to produce children. Necro. The deadness, he says, of Sarah's womb. Sarah's womb was also dying. That's the doctor's report. Say, I have God's report. Say, I have God's report. Someone told me one time, he said, the sister and laid hands on me. They have laid hands on me. And I asked the question. You know how he got healed? I said, is the laying on of hands what brings the healing? He said, no. I said, what brings the healing? The name of Jesus. So stop saying, so and so, laid hands on me. Just say, I am healed in the name of Jesus. So it's true. It's not yet true. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. You're feeling the pains. You are vomiting the blood. You are seeing the signs. You've gone to the doctors. You're taking your medication, no doubt. Well, you are seeing the power of God is working in you, effecting the healing, bringing a cure. My body's been strengthened in the name of Jesus. I'm being renewed in my body. I got new kidneys, I got new livers, I got a new heart. Praise God. I got a new lungs. I got new chest in the name of Jesus. I've got a revitalized body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's nothing wrong in my blood. In the name of Jesus. God's power is working in there. In the name of Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. He considered not his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know, this is easy for us to do because we are believers. We don't struggle to see this as our reality. Hallelujah. What's the third thing he did? He staggered not. He staggered not. The word there means to waver, diakrino. When you go for the word, you go for the word only. You go for the word only. You go for the word only. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can never miss it. I can never miss it. I said this years ago. I said it 24 years ago. I said I can never miss it. I said I'm on fire all the time. My friend said, what do you mean you're boasting? Said, yes, I'm bragging on the Lord. I've got a big mouth and a big God to back it up. Woo! Glory to God. Say, I can't fail. 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 When I hear negative prophecies, I don't respond. I don't respond. I was in a service, somebody was prophesying, he said, and he's a respected minister in Ibadan. He said, the Lord is saying, in 5 years, you will be no more. I laughed. And I'm not saying he's not the same, it doesn't make sense. Who is sending what to who? I can't see what you are saying. I don't say what you are saying. Hallelujah. You keep saying what you are saying, I keep saying what I say. I can imagine Abraham calling himself Abraham with no child. So I said, oh, yeah, Abraham, okay, bless the Lord. And he said, oh, Baba is going, Baba is losing it all. Baba is calling himself father. Baba is dreaming. But you know what? God's word will come through. God's word will come through. God's word will come through because God's word cannot fail because it hasn't failed. The fourth thing he did and the last one. Say, I'm strong in faith. How was he strong? How do you need you? He's strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. How thankful have you been of late? How have you grumbled of late? Say, giving glory to God. How are you giving glory to God? What you haven't seen? You haven't seen it. You're thanking God. Hallelujah. You thanking God? You thanking God? One day, years ago, as a young man in the ministry, everybody had just left the ministry. And I can tell you, everybody who left our ministry 23 years ago now follow the ministry. I said, everybody. I took the record myself. 23 years ago. Each of them, those abroad, those within, those without. Because I told them, you all listen eventually. I said it. And I'll be alone, sometimes, in the hall, a large hall with nobody, and I'm preaching. So I said, are you not discouraged? No, I know one day, I'm going to be talking, and I will not know my audience. That's happening already. I said that years ago. I did say it. I said it. I said it. I did. I did. Said it when there was no one wanting to listen. Said it. In 1995, I said, we'll write books in years to come. And many Bible schools in the world will use it. I said it years ago. You see? You see? When you speak like that, you've already spoken the abundance with it. You've spoken the resources with it. You've spoken the men with it. You've spoken the circumstances with it. I refuse to speak doubt. There are a lot of doubt sometimes in your mind is strong. Don't say it. You don't give expression to fear or doubt. Give expression to the word of God on your lips. There's no point speaking your fear. It's already there. What's the point? Admitting what's already there. Whether you admit it or not, it's already there. But let's call the things that be not. As though they were. As though they were. Glory to God. As though they were. He says he gave glory to God. Look at the last one. Being fully persuaded. That word is the word plerophonio. It means he had gotten to the end of being convinced.
is the word accomplished in your believing. Using Luke 1:1, fully accomplished. Romans 14 verse 5. Colossians 4:12. 2 Timothy 4:7, 4:5 and 17. I'll take it again. Luke 1:1. Romans 14:5. Colossians 4:12. 2 Timothy 4:5 and 17. You have got to that end where you're not trying to be persuaded. You know what you have believed. You're not staggering. Know that the promises of God, God's word says it, and it's true. Hallelujah. I have what it says I have. So you respond in life to circumstances by the word. I dwell in the realm of possibilities. Jesus said to Jairus, "Fear not, only believe." Wow. So when I am not believing, I'm afraid. When I am afraid, I am not believing. You cannot stand on the word and be in fear at the same time. Job Oedipus said this years ago, I'll never forget. He said, try and look up and down. One of the greatest lessons I heard from him. He said, you can't do it. He said, you can't do the word and be in fear. You have to choose one. I cannot be afraid. I cannot be afraid. I'm full of faith. There's no fear in my heart. I fulfill God's plan for my life. I walk in the light as He is in the light. Oh, glory to God. I walk in His purpose and plan. I walk in His provision. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I don't walk into the wrong crowd. I don't mingle with the wrong crowd. I mingle in God's purpose and plan for my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't be confused. I can't be confused. I can't be confused. The healing power is walking in my body. It's effectively healing and bringing a cure. No matter how long sickness has been on your body, you can call the things that be not as though they were. Call yourself healed. Call yourself strong. Call yourself whole and healthy. Stop saying, you know, I am an asthma patient. You are not an asthma patient. Don't say I'm an ulcer patient. You are not an ulcer patient. Don't say, I have this lung. No, you don't have it. Yes, there's a pain on your lungs. But you call the things that be not as though they were. Lift your hands and worship the Father.